This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ducks.
Yeah, definitely a team that's capable.
Huskies.
Certainly excited about using this time to really make it a one-game season.
Isaac and Soup.
You will have to take the good and the bad with it, and we already have.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Soup.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly, 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Soup on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You're talking about your helmet every moment.
The Fan.
Hello?
Ahoy.
What it do?
Hey!
What's up? What is up? A little clunky.
I was waiting for more scores. That was riveting. I was on the edge of my seat. I paid for the whole thing, but I only needed the edge.
Yeah, it was a little clunky there, but we're going to blame Jason Swigart on that. It's usually his fault. So we're here. Hi.
We are here.
What are you guys doing?
A little late. But we're here.
How about that? They pulled that out.
Yeah. Well, I think A&M went like 2-for-18 down the stretch, and Oregon can hit free throws. So there you go.
I did not watch all of it, admittedly, but I did see a lot of it, particularly in the first half. And I am here to report to you, if you want a five-second post-game show.
I would love it, because we just had a half-hour post-game show that was riveting.
Well, here's 5 seconds more.
All right.
Those are the same exact teams, Oregon and Texas A&M.
Okay.
That's the same team.
And it was until the free throws
the same
at the
team.
End.
Yeah. All and right. They play 10 times. That's probably 6-4, 5-5. And I don't want to watch it.
The Duckies 6-0 and soon to be ranked.
Yeah.
So they finally beat someone.
Well, they play San Diego State tomorrow.
Yes.
And San Diego State beat Creighton today. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
They looked pretty good. So
they knocked off the 21st ranked Creighton Blue Jays. So your Duckies, your Ducks,
my Ducks,
should be ranked
Sco Ducks.
Next week.
Yeah. Look at this. We're a basketball school now.
Well, it is a. I don't think there's a freshman really anywhere to be found. It is an upper-class team. A lot of transfers, and I think Shellstad and maybe Biddle are the only two like homegrown guys.
Can I give you another little tidbit on Texas A&M?
Please. I'm dying for more A&M tidbits.
Yeah. Well, they're one of the most experienced teams in college basketball.
Well, suck it. Their experience sucks. How about that? Sucks to suck.
So, nice win by the Duckies. Let's move on. Now, you may be wondering if the college football playoff rankings are out, but they are not.
No.
This is one of those days where they're waiting for between tournament games.
Yes.
So, it's going to be about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
Because later tonight, we got Rock Chalk against the Duckies.
Let's go. Great game.
Yes.
Not to bring it back to college hoops, but Kansas Duke.
We're all college hoops today.
Hey, I have a nugget. Now I've got a pregame
show. You've gone post to pre, everything in between.
Here is your Kansas.
ITN is coming. Is there anything you can't do?
No, the answer to that is no. But here is the Kansas Duke pregame show in 5 seconds.
Okay.
Tonight's game is in Vegas. Kansas is the number one team in the country. Mm-hmm. Duke is ranked 11. This is the first time in history that a number one ranked team has been an underdog to a team outside of the top 10.
Get right the hell out of town.
Thank you so much.
That is a fun little nugget.
That's my pregame show.
I like it.
Everybody enjoy the game. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dookie, with God knows what.
Dookie minus 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because they're damn good. Mm. They got a lot of freshmen, but they're really talented. Yeah.
That Cooper Flag guy.
Have you seen him yet?
Yeah, I watched him when he played the first one there. Who were they playing?
They played Kentucky and they played Arizona.
I watched the Kentucky game. That's the one. And he had a nice game. It's just that he had like the two really bad turnovers down the stretch.
Yeah.
But he was dominant until that point.
Well, he's a freshman.
Yes.
And I think the other two key guys at Duke are freshmen, so they're very inexperienced. Meanwhile, Kansas is the most experienced team in all of college basketball. So that's the interesting part of that matchup, too. But Duke is just loaded with talent. Yeah. I mean,
well, it's a nice night for college hoops because you got Kansas Duke, you got Auburn Carolina. That's 4 versus 12. Carolina had the big comeback. And then I think you get, 9 Alabama versus number 6 Houston. So it's a nice little night for if you like the college hoops.
Would you like an Alabama Houston pregame show?
I will.
Thank you so much.
Just give it to me all.
That is. The number, that is a matchup of top 5 offense versus top 5 defense, at least so far.
I did not know that.
Houston, obviously, the defense, in Alabama, the offense.
The other fun fact, the only college basketball fact that I will bring you is I find it hilarious that Duke, in their bitchy, whiny coach, UConn, lost again today, which I found.
Are they the new Duke?
Hilarious.
Have you just turned UConn into the new Duke?
I'm not going to lie.
Without even knowing it.
Look, here's my thing. When you win, it's like people just, you naturally gravitate to disliking them. And I don't dislike UConn during this run, but they are a blue blood. They have, they even say they run college basketball. But Hurley has really started to, I think, grasp the mantle of the most hated coach in America. He is beyond insufferable.
Yeah, so they lost to Colorado?
Yeah, they lost to Colorado, 72-73.
Good.
And just with each passing press conference and the more I hear from that guy, it makes me root against him more and more. And I am starting to turn a lot of my Duke hate north.
Okay.
I'm turning it up into Connecticut.
I love that for your journey.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, to be honest with you,
A lot of hate out of you.
I don't think a lot about Duke anymore. They just kind of, I'm like, yeah.
Well, come on. They're still hateable. I know.
They got the white freshman.
They got the new cocky, young, handsome coach.
I got plenty of hate for him. But until Duke starts winning more national titles, like, well, go Duke, go away.
Yeah.
I can focus my hatred up on UConn now.
All right. You guys, we got some sports. We got to get to some sports. But we are at In the News time, I think. You guys
ready? We are. It is right here.
It's ready for ITN?
Oh, well, I'm ready.
Are you a punk?
Am I a punk?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to define punk, like, because punk can be like a punk rocker or a punk as in you're like a tool.
Let me ask you this. Are you punk?
Oh, no.
No?
No, I'm not punk rock.
Well, if you are punk.
Don't you have to have like a mohawk or something for that?
Your Super Bowl has arrived.
To have like guyliner and all that?
That story next. But let's go to, I think Buck's ready. Are you ready? Are you okay in there?
Hey, we're good to go.
Are you sure? We're getting some negative texts on the
Text line. Think the way we just kind of came into our show messed with the Odyssey app, potentially.
No way.
And your camera was frozen on the YouTube stream, so I had to reboot everything.
An Odyssey station.
We should be flying now.
We
just had some guests in here, and we were showing them around, and I told them, they were like, oh, wow, that's really nice. They showed them the studio, and they're like, oh, that's really nice and spacious. That's way better than I thought. She said, I used to go to the old studios, like win tickets or whatever, and you guys were broadcasting out of like a phone booth, and I told her, I said, you know, that's true, but I'm telling you, these new studios don't hold a candle, technology-wise, to the old analog studios.
Yeah.
They were way better, and they sounded way better, and nothing ever went wrong.
Yeah, welcome to technology.
Now everything goes wrong. Everything's new, and it's haywire.
Apparently, the moment we went on the app, it went right to commercial.
You see what I mean? That wouldn't have happened in our old phone booth studio back in
McAdam. You had to press a lot of buttons, but now,
when the little switcher tossed us over from the Oregon game to our show, it confused the app.
The olden days.
Someone's bringing up an interesting point here, though. What if Dan Hurley and Kenny Dillingham got in the same room? Would their energy cause spontaneous combustion?
Well, I would like to remind you that Dan Hurley has a brother named Bobby Hurley.
Yes.
Who is quite insufferable himself.
Yeah.
And they grew up together.
Boy.
So.
You want to talk about a pair of brothers that I don't want to be in the same room with. That makes the Harbaugh brothers seem like the most rational human beings on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, they look nice compared to those two.
Harbaugh, by the way, was fun last
night. Great.
18 million people tuned into that.
Nice guys, those Harbaughs.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. But anyway, I think Buck's ready to go, and we'll do In the News next. Here he is with SportsCenter. Well. All right, welcome back. Ducks over Texas A&M. They will play San Diego State tomorrow, so we'll be late on tomorrow as well. Hopefully it will go better than today.
little choppy.
The people are still worried about Buck. He sounds terrible again. It's been over a week.
Yeah, what is happening over there?
It's been a week.
Is Are you okay?
Yeah.
I feel fine. I just sound awful.
Yeah, this cat AIDS thing, it's...
And I feel like it. I come in sounding okay, and then as soon as I start projecting my voice, it all falls apart. So, could take a couple days off, though.
Radio's hard.
Yeah, you get some Thanksgiving off, and you know, maybe just shut up for a while. Maybe sit a...
That's the plan.
Sit a few plays out.
Do some drinking.
See what happens. Yeah, I think whiskey, like...
Whiskey will help.
Yeah, whiskey, maybe some bleach, you know? Maybe some UV light right in
there. Yeah, drink bleach.
Wash everything out. Yeah, don't do that, kids.
It is November 26, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated.
Gotcha.
Please. Thank you. This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Good Grief Day. I don't even know what that means. Like, that, good grief.
Who's that? That's good a Charlie grief. Brown thing, right?
Is it?
Wasn't Charlie Brown the good grief guy?
I don't know.
I think that's correct.
I think Charlie Brown would slap the old head and give you the good grief.
Is that where it started, though? Or did he just make it?
I don't know if that's... I doubt that he coined the phrase good grief. I'm guessing that comes from the olden days, whenever that was. I think that was on a Tuesday. But yeah, I think he probably made that popular. When I think of good grief, that was the first thing that popped into my
mind. How old was Charlie Brown? How old was he supposed to be?
I think we're talking probably in that 10 to 12 range.
Really?
Yeah. Because they had elementary school, you know, Peppermint Patty and all that, and the teacher, they sat in the little desks.
Yeah. And he just had the one little squiggly hair.
Yeah, he had the little curly Q.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bald for a 10-year-old.
I know.
Felt kinda bad. Weird.
Kind of felt bad for him. But then Linus had, like, the stink lines and, you know.
I loved Linus.
Or that wasn't Linus.
Linus had the blanket.
Linus had the blanket, which again, I don't know who you feel bad for. The stinky kid, which is Pigpen. Or Linus, who had to walk around, suck his thumb in a blankie. You know that kid was getting his ass kicked on a day-to-day basis. And they're saying Charlie Brown, 8 years old.
He was eight?
He was eight.
Man.
Yeah, it's tough to be the bald kid with one curly Q. You know, that's...
You should do that with your hair.
I do have one patch that grows like right in front.
Dude.
It's like a horn.
Oh, yeah. Grow that ass out.
Just let that thing go. Comb it back.
Shave everything else. Yeah. And then put it in a ponytail.
Or spike it. You could be a unicorn.
Hell yeah. All right. Where was I?
I don't know
either. Oh, it was also
it was Good Grief Day.
National Cake Day. I don't know why.
Yeah, it seems like because it's
Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah, Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving, no one brings a cake to Thanksgiving, do they?
No, it's pies.
That's pie day.
Pies.
Because pie. Now I kind of want a pot pie.
Are you punk? That is the question I ask.
I'm going to say no. I don't think there's a whole lot about me that is
Who is punk. The most punk guy at the Fan?
Oh, God.
Is it Schulte? Well, he's a crooner. He's not punk.
Dude, Schulte is the least punk human being that's ever walked the planet.
Well, Fauxhawks, though.
Yeah, I was looking more at his... He's got the chains and the faux hawk.
Joe Fisher went to Fallout Boy recently.
The tats.
He wears... Schulte wears nothing but Mariner gear and listens to Michael Bublé.
That's a good one. Joe Fisher. Joe Fisher. He's pretty punk.
Yeah. Boy.
Are you going to weigh in on this?
We have set a terrible bar for... I'm just trying
Well, we don't have any... I mean, look.
Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
It would probably ish. Be Harris.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's not good, but I think it's the best that we're offering
well,
up.
Well, I mean, sports radio is not necessarily
no.
synonymous with punk.
No, I'm just...
Unless you're a punk.
I think if
and some of us are punks.
If we're having to go with it... Now that we could answer.
Who's the biggest punk at the Fan?
but P.
Oh,
Harris,
I know the answer to that.
But P. Harris probably has to be the most punk rock guy that we have.
Well, there's another call for people to be paid in be in a movie here in Portland. Mm. It's filming here. And the focus is on punks.
Yeah.
Local company Adam and the Backgrounds is looking for people to play punks in a movie called Out Come the Wolves.
I doubt they're looking for 46-year-old bald punks. So I think I'm out on
this. Well, you're not a punk. You already said it.
No.
You're out.
But I could play like
get out of here.
If you needed a hooligan,
no,
then
punk.
I'd be perfect for
you gotta
this.
You got to be punk, bro.
What about like a racist? What about like a if you needed like a like a thug.
You want to play a racist?
No, I'm saying I would look the part. Like if you needed someone for like a January 6th sort of thing.
What?
Or yeah, you needed something like that, I'm your guy. Maybe to kidnap a governor? I'm right there. But punk, I can't do punk.
Outcome the Wolves is described in a Hollywood Reporter story as a drama that's inspired by the 1995 album of the same name from punk rock band Rancid. Set against the East Bay punk music scene in the mid-90s, Wolves is a story of grit and dreams in a world of violence and desperation.
Well, I'm sure.
So you can be in that movie.
I'm sure it was a hell of a time, but that description sounds incredibly lame.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's just kind of generic, isn't it?
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way. But there is a movie called Outcome the Wolves, but it's about a weekend of hunting turns into mayhem and a fight for survival when a pack of wolves attacks a man and the female best friend. So I think that's a different Outcome the Wolves.
Sounds hot.
I think I'd rather watch that one, to be honest with you, than a movie about Rancid.
So they're filming here in December. Anyone interested in being an extra is asked to go to the Adam and the Backgrounds website.
Okay.
Cast, they have a casting portal. You may have to upload some nudes, but don't worry.
Tasteful.
Tasteful.
That's the key. Can I just upload my tasteful nudes anyways and then pretend like what? I thought we were just...
Maybe they pick you.
Thought we were just casting. If you needed someone, like, I would play the guy that would be fighting the punks. From the, like, I would be the guy in the neighborhood that, like, beat someone with a garbage can for having purple hair. That'd be more along my role in said movie.
They're eating the pets.
Yes.
Let's see. Portland will light its tree, its Christmas tree soon.
Oh, I love the tree light.
Yeah, it's kind of weird this year because Thanksgiving is a little later.
I know.
So it's, I mean, December 1st is Monday.
I know. Let's get the tree up. Let's go.
Yeah, it's, we got to get going.
Oh, the weekend will happen and Christmas lights are going to be up. My tree's going to be lit.
Gotta get going.
I've been listening to Christmas music for like two straight days. I listened to Christopher Cross coming in today. He's got a Christmas album. It's dynamite. Just Cross doing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I will, Chris.
Santa Claus will be flipping the switch on more than 9,500 colorful LED lights to brighten the 75-foot-tall Douglas fir down at Pioneer Courthouse Square this Friday.
Nice.
Starting at 5:30 p.m. Right. Tree lighting ceremony.
Get a little gathering out there. Maybe some hot cocoa.
Yeah. Maybe some Stanleys with some booze in them.
I would hope so. Get out there and mix it up.
Get arrested for that while the homeless guy sits there and shoots fentanyl laughing at you with your cuffs on.
Dude, I will tell you that if I ever got busted for an open container in this city, the amount of rage.
Yeah.
You think my $300 jaywalking ticket broke me? There would be no end to my fury if that happened.
Yeah, I think that's justified.
Really? Here's my ticket?
There is a bazaar at the square.
I like a good bazaar.
Can we define a bazaar? What is a bazaar?
I think a bazaar, you're going to get various crafts and services around a central theme, this being a Christmas bazaar.
So the key with the bazaar, as opposed to, say, a market, is a theme?
A theme, yes. Because the market, you can get by anything. But the bazaar is, I think, you're centered on one thing.
Okay.
I think we're doing that. We're having a Christmas bazaar. I think it's just, or you could say Christmas market if you wanted to. But,
Well, it just says the meaning of bazaar is a market consisting of rows of shops or stalls selling miscellaneous goods.
Oh. I always thought the bazaar was focused on one thing.
I think it's more the Middle Eastern name for a market.
Sure.
So.
But look, if you need to buy a sign that says, like, Merry Christmas, ho, 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 or, you need some sort of cheesy...
What if it says Merry Christmas, you ho?
Yeah, something like that. There'll be like a Griswold family Christmas tree sign or whatever. If you're one of those people that need it to say Merry Christmas at your house, I think this is where you go.
Okay, well, that's Friday.
Maybe a nutcracker.
5:30. Coming up next, why? What'd we call Tina Kotek? What was her?
No Toll Tina.
No Toll.
No Toll Tina.
No Toll Tina.
Why our new fearless, well, she's not really new anymore, but our governor leader person, No Toll Tina, has called Oregon lawmakers in for a special session.
That's right. She's not messing around.
Yeah. That will be next on In the News. This is The Fan. Man, a lot going on. We're kind of out of time for the rest of In the News, but who cares, right?
We're compressed.
Yeah, really compressed. We had the Ducks game on. Big win for Dana Altman. All right, well... I won't tell you what touchdown Tina is doing until tomorrow.
Okay.
But I do.
Special session?
Yeah, she's having a special session. I do want to ask if any one of you has watched St. Denis Medical yet.
No.
Have you seen the ads for
it? And I refuse to watch it. How can you not have seen the ads for it?
Yeah.
If you've
it's on NBC.
It's on NBC. Like, I believe that they are, Tirico and Collinsworth are contractually obligated to mention that show every 9 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's on plays every break.
Well, it's supposed to be in Oregon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a mockumentary about a hospital in Oregon. It's kind of like Reno 911 meets Parks and Rec meets The Office.
Yeah, it just reminded me of a bad version of Scrubs.
Well, did you watch it?
No, but it just, when I've seen 17,000 previews of it, It just has that feel of, you know, it's Scrubs, but the way they do it, like you said, the mockumentary is The Office in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so they have like the arrogant surgeon and the jaded ER doctor and the smart ass nurses and the goofy Michael Scott type boss.
Yeah.
I have a raving review from my kid who watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he said, you know, they're trying to be The Office, but The Office is like, to him, like the olden days.
Sure.
Because he's, you know, 25.
Back in the day.
And he's like, The Office was kind of edgy, you know, some of the jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
This is like a cleaned up, sanitized version of today's version of The Office.
Sure.
And it's just not, it's not.
Well, this is my problem that I have with anything that's on network TV.
Not that great.
Is I haven't watched a show that's on network TV in I don't know how long, because you have to play under constraints. So why would I watch that when I can watch something on FX or HBO or Showtime that actually can have edgy humor and doesn't have to be the cheesiest mass appeal? That's like, why would I watch Jay Leno when David Letterman is right over here? So no offense to St. Denis, but I'm good here.
In the news, November 26, 2024, as always, sponsor. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5. We will catch you up on all the things going on in sports, including some Blazers injuries. And we don't quite have the college football rankings yet, but we do have a lot of college basketball action that has taken place. So we'll get you caught up next on The Fan.
Ducks.
Mitchell goes in motion. They hand it off. Straight ahead for a touchdown.
Huskies.
C.J. Verdell wins the game for Oregon.
Isaac and Suit.
Honestly, I just think it makes you feel good as a fan.
And I think it's fun.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suit.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Suit on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Sweet redemption.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. Sports Bros here, Rob. That's me. Big Sook's right over there.
Late start, but here.
Yep, we were on a little bit late today, as a Ducks game against Texas A&M was a barn burner. About as good as the postgame show.
I don't know what you're talking about. That postgame show was riveting.
Fire.
I could not stop listening.
Do you ever use the fire emoji?
That would be like 4 fire emojis.
Yeah,
I did
right.
See someone was saying the other day.
Oh, fire
like,
emojis.
That it's now it's like over 80% of people believe that every text message has to include an emoji.
Really?
Yes.
That seems high.
The vast majority of people now
has to?
When you send a message,
80%.
A emoji has to be included.
What do you mean has to?
Dang.
A message is not it's not complete. It's rude to not send an emoji. Like, it's not enough to say like LOL, you need to put the laughing face emoji. Or, like, if you say I love you, there needs to be a heart emoji on that. The emoji is becoming...
No.
It's becoming standard fare. If you don't have the emoji, you're viewed as a... It's a rude, incomplete text.
Well, count me as rude.
Well, it's because you're an old.
I'm in the 15%.
Yeah, you're an old man.
That's an absurd...
Get with the youngs. The youngs are emojiing out there.
It's an absurd claim. Although I will say that now that I think about it...
I use a lot of emojis.
My kids almost always have an emoji with their text.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go through and...
Yeah, it's becoming a thing.
Let me see here.
And I found myself, when I saw that, I did the... When I heard that, I didn't see it, I heard it, I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, meat doesn't do it.
And then when I started looking through, a lot of my texts have emojis attached to them.
But his girlfriend, or a fiance now, does.
She's an emoji.
Well, nah, not everything.
No?
Not everything. Mm. And look, I take my cues from the kids, because I'm hip. So... I don't think that's a thing.
It's
I think
a thing.
You're spreading fake news.
No. I got one from Masters Pete, and he's an old. Masters Pete, he's an emoji guy.
Yeah, he sent me Fire Altman again today.
Yeah, was there an emoji with it?
Yeah, the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put the fire.
Yeah.
Although the one before that, claiming this is the biggest game in Dan Lanning's career, did not have an emoji.
So he's a little inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, he's... 900 years old, so.
I'm just saying, if old man Masters Pete is out there sending emojis, get with the times,
but not
man.
Every man. I mean, come on. That's absurd. Mm-hmm. Absolutely absurd.
The emojis are coming.
I'm going to chalk that up as the dumbest thing I've heard all day. And there's still time, but.
Till you start looking at your messages now, you're going to notice, man, a lot of emojis out there.
This little guy here in Portland thinks that was stupid. Coming up here, well, we're going to get the college football playoff rankings. And yet, we don't know when. Maybe there's about 3 minutes left in the college basketball game.
And it won't be a long one. Like, in between, when they do them in between the games like this, they cram them in like a 20-minute time, which is, by the way, all you need. We do not need an hour-long thing to...
But don't you have to have the committee chair interview?
No, we don't have to have the committee chair.
Why not?
Just shove it in there, and then we can all yell and scream about it tomorrow. How about that?
That could be a good drop. We also have a Power 5 head roll today. Mac Brown is dead.
Yeah.
Well, not he. I mean, I shouldn't have said that because he's old, and now some people think he may actually be dead.
Rest in peace, Mac Brown. No, he's just not going to be the coach at North Carolina.
Right. So we'll get to that. Club 1080 tonight. Could you run a marathon drunk?
Could I run a marathon sober? Is really the question. Like, what do you?
Well, if you train though, could you be drunk? Someone did.
I couldn't run one again, even if I did train. It's not happening. That may be the...
So that's a no?
That may be the least likely physical thing that I could accomplish.
Drunk marathon?
Marathon in general. Can I walk a marathon? I'll give you 26 miles.
Yeah, you can walk.
Yeah, I can walk.
I mean, some of it. I'd like you to try to jog some.
A couple of my friends participated in a boozy and bougie marathon in France that you ran across the countryside and you were given wine at all these estates along the way. People were dressed up. There was foie gras. I mean, it was like they completed 26 miles, but it took like all day.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
See, that seems real fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like now, that's a marathon I can get behind.
I love when the people do the beer mile and like the one guy's doing it while smoking and you know, like that I find anything you do athletically while smoking and drinking, that amps it up.
So the beer mile is you chug a beer and then you run a mile?
No, you chug a beer every lap.
Oh, every lap.
Yeah, every lap.
So and it's four beers and a mile.
And it's for time. And some of those dudes run really, really good times.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do anything? Why did Bajent, he did what, burpee miles? Wasn't that Tyson Bajent that did that?
Chicago backup quarterback. A whole mile's worth of burpees, right?
Yeah, he did a mile worth of burpee.
He did a burpees for the whole mile?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, because he's a bro.
It.
I don't know.
God.
It's like something Will Ortner would do. I don't know. When you're a bro, you just do bro-y things.
Maybe I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
So if you do the beer mile,
yeah.
You chug a beer. And then you run a lap.
Yes.
And then you chug a beer and you run a lap.
Yeah.
And then you chug a beer and you run a lap. And then you chug a beer and you run a lap.
Bingo.
And then you're done.
Do you want to guess the world record?
Beer mile?
I'll bet you it's
I'm sure it's like, yeah. It's. Sure. I bet it's 4-something.
It is 4-something.
Yeah. 4:30?
4:28?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, who has that record? Paul
Canadian,
Ryan?
Canadian Corey Bellamore.
Now, was he an actual, like, great
runner? He had to have been.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, couldn't you just get an Olympic champion and be like, hey, dude, can't you suck it up and just drink four beers? Like, four beers is not a big deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he has to be a really skilled...
Women's record is 5:43.
...runner, right? Like, it's not just some drunk guy from Canada.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure he's a runner, but I don't know if he's... Does 4:28? I don't think
that's pretty...
Does that make you a world-class?
It probably makes you a collegiate athlete.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty... Legit. That's legit, man.
I'm looking up what a world-class mile time is. No. A world-class time is considered to be around 3:43.
Oh, wow.
So
he's just a punk.
Well, he's a good runner.
Loser.
But that's like saying a scratch golfer is a world-class golfer. No, he's not.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a very good golfer, but he's not world class. That blows my mind, by the way, that that's considered a world class time. 3:43 is what it takes to be a world class. I don't know if I could run a lap in 3:43.
I could sprint and not get 3:43.
So as I mentioned, he's Canadian. He won a Canadian gold medal in the 4x800 relay, and so I mean, one of the fastest Canadian runners at one point in time, 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, you knew he had to be. Oh, come on.
So how about this? Elite, not world class.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
Being the best in Canada, I don't know if that makes you elite.
But listen, if you run a four, well, it doesn't matter where he is. He can still run the 4 minute, yeah, you know, four and a half minute.
One of the best in Canada. They can.
Yeah, but if you run a 4:30 here, you're one of the best here. I mean, that's really good.
No, it's not. 3:43 is good.
That's intense. Like, I don't know.
Do you have to stop while drinking the beer, or can you just like NASCAR?
I think you have to keep going.
You keep going and
oh, I thought that you had to.
I don't know if you
I thought that you couldn't start your next lap till you'd finished your first beer.
See, that kind of I don't a deal. Know.
You can't chug while you're running.
Because then people would just save it until they had to get rid of it. I think you have to finish one and then go, and then another and then go. I think.
Okay, it is time now for the Hot 5 at 5.
Been derailed.
Oh, hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookie. Yeah, you do have to stop. And the time does not stop.
Number five.
Stop, chug the beer.
Number five.
Keep going.
So that is an important element of the time. So that makes him even better runner.
That's more impressive.
He's probably a four-minute miler, right?
Yeah. Which is, that's elite.
I stand corrected.
Or, I mean, world class.
That's close to world class. That's impressive. Like when Swag was going to squat 300 pounds.
Final 2 weeks of deliberation for the College Football Playoff Committee, although we do not have any rankings just yet, as we are waiting for this stupid game to finish between Memphis and Michigan State. Once that's over on ESPN, they will put out the new rankings. Of course, Oregon doesn't have to worry. They're sitting pretty at number one. Yeah. And they are in the Big Ten Championship game, even if they don't beat Washington.
I think the vast majority of teams, we already know who's in. There's a handful of spots that still have something to be figured out. But and then, of course, seeding. But Oregon, Ohio State, the Texases of the world, Penn State, they're in.
Well, I think what will be interesting will be where they place some of those SEC teams that are crying.
Yeah, because if there is some kerfuffle over these this last week and then the conference title games, is there a shot that an Alabama or an Ole Miss or a South Carolina climbs back in? Or what they do with Clemson, is Clemson able to backdoor their way into this? So 1-8 isn't going to be real interesting, but like, you know, that 9-13, 14 range, that's where this gets a little squirrel.
Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers expected to start this weekend's game at Texas A&M. A spot in the SEC title game is on the line in that one. MRI revealed just a mild ankle sprain, and he did practice yesterday.
What's weird is I think a lot of Texas fans don't want him to play.
Yeah, well, they love Arch.
Yeah.
But Ewers has more experience. Meanwhile, Penn State suffered a pair of blows in Saturday's narrow win. Star offensive tackle Anthony Donko is done for the season with a knee injury. Also, defensive tackle Alonzo Ford is done with a leg injury. And Coach Prime at Colorado says Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter plan to play in the Buffs bowl game, no matter which one it is.
Yeah, and Deion Sanders is giving back his Thorpe Award that he won, because Travis Hunter did not make the finalists for the Thorpe Award, and Deion Sanders is very, very angry. In a classy move, he's saying he no longer wants to be recognized as a Thorpe Award winner.
Okay.
he's a lot.
Three not-so-great injury updates for your... Not my, your Portland Trailblazers.
By the way, we when they were playing a little better, didn't we all kind of feel like these things were going to start trickling in?
Well, yeah, you can't win that much.
No, we don't.
What's the matter with them?
When they split that one with Houston, we're like, all right, here come the injuries.
Donovan Klingon has a grade 2 MCL sprain. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Matisse Thybulle sprained his ankle ramping up his rehab. He's now out another 3-6 weeks. Also, Robert Williams is in league concussion protocol. The Blazers will play their next game in Indiana tomorrow. Jeremy Grant, doubtful with a knee sprain. DeAndre Ayton and Scoot Henderson among those questionable again.
I love that DeAndre Ayton has the most bruised finger of all time.
It's a deep contusion.
Deep contusion.
Deep.
In that finger.
Deep.
Running out of players.
Deep.
What's the spread in an Indiana game?
Hammer the Pacers. You have a lot of players.
One day after saying he'd be back, the school says he will not be back. 73-year-old Mac Brown is out at North Carolina. He is the winningest active coach in FBS. He went 44-32 in his second stint with the Heels, but just 1-4 in bowl games. He will coach this weekend against NC State, but they say they are not sure about the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're North Carolina, the Mac Brown thing wasn't working. I mean, it was kind of cute that you gave it a whirl. And he's a great spokesman for the program, but let's be honest, Mac Brown was taking that program nowhere. And they're kind of starting to get like lumped into me with like that Arizona State where we keep saying that they should be really good and yet they never really are very good, even though they have good players. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the sleeping giant. Well,
not really.
Call me when they do something.
They're a basketball school.
It does feel that way, yes. Well, it doesn't feel that way. It is that way, but we keep hearing
that
North Carolina is going to pop in football. And starting to think maybe not.
Come too far together. Stop now.
They got money, though. Let's
do it. They had a cooking with one guy. Was it Butch Davis was there?
Yeah,
wasn't
Butch
he
Davis
pretty good
was
there?
Number one.
I mean, they've had moments. They've had flashes. But they've never put anything consistently together there.
Ducks basketball took on Texas A&M today in Vegas. A&M ranked in the top 25. And I tell you what, Ducks took care of biz. 80-70. They trailed most of the game.
They were down by double digits again. I feel like this is the Brush's MO. We just fall down by double digits and they got it.
They're starting slow. They only scored 29 in the first half, but they dropped 51 in the second. And they scored the last 11 points of the game to win. So they're now 6-0. Tomorrow they'll take on San Diego State. They're 3-1. They beat number 21 Creighton 71-53 today.
So the game plan there, fall down by 17 in the first half and then a rousing comeback.
Colorado now 5-1. They upset number 2 UConn 73-72.
Yeah, it's two in a row for the two-time defending champs.
We've got a top 10 matchup that's out there right now, and that is Alabama and Houston. Houston ranked number 6. They are leading 8-5. Kansas-Duke. Kansas is number 1, Duke number 11. That will get underway in about 45 minutes in Vegas. We also have number 4 against number 12 tonight in these preseason tournaments. Auburn is 4th, North Carolina is 12th, and they are in the Maui Invitational, and that one will tip late tonight. I think, 8?
Fun little night of college hoops.
8 o'clock our time.
If you're looking for something to watch.
Yeah, good little night.
Good little night.
Memphis, who upset UConn yesterday, they are wrapping up right now on ESPN, and they are leading Michigan State 69-63 with 35 seconds left. Once that game ends, they'll flip over to the college football playoff rankings.
The ranking show, and we'll bring that to you.
By the way,
when we hear.
One beautiful nugget on the Kansas-Duke game. Kansas ranked number 1. No number 1 team has ever been an underdog to a team outside the top 10 ever until tonight.
Well, Dukie's 11, so they're right on the doorstep, but they're getting 4.5. And I'll tell you what, you give me Kansas and 4.5, I'll gobble that up.
All right, the college basketball game has ended, and we're about to get the rankings. I'm always really interested. They've done 2 weeks of these now, officially?
No, they've done several weeks of this. It's been more than two. They've done, I mean, this is probably the fourth or fifth incarnation of this. They've done more than two.
I feel like it started at the beginning of the month, so maybe we're at the 4 now. This might be the fourth one. Fourth or fifth?
Googling currently, it's 100% more than two. Rob looks perplexed.
He's skeptical.
He is skeptical. It's like the elite beer mile. He's like, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Skeptical.
Buck was right. This is the fourth. This is the fourth.
Okay.
So I always like to look at who's 8-9, because that could be who slides into Oregon's, who slides in to play Oregon in the second round.
Yeah.
If
Oregon ends up the number
Oregon one. Oregon wins the Big Ten.
Yeah. If Oregon wins the Big Ten, they'll be the number one overall seed.
So for the longest time, it's been Tennessee and Notre Dame, maybe a little Indiana in there.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of shuffling. So
yes, this will be this definitely will be a little funky because seven teams in the top 20 went down. So
well, while we wait, Mac Brown fired at North Carolina. He is dead. Who is a Cignetti on the radar there?
He just signed a huge deal, and I don't know what the buyout situation is in Indiana, but they just gave him a bunch of money.
8 years, $64 million.
Do we know what the buyout is there?
I don't know the buyout.
So, man, it's a hunk of money. I mean, North Carolina, to me, we keep hearing that, like, if the ACC falls apart, that North Carolina is a more attractive option than Clemson, and that North Carolina is a crown jewel there, and obviously, you know, it's a basketball school, but it's never really won anything in football. So I don't know.
Why is it such a crown jewel?
I don't know. Maybe just because of where it's at academic standards? I don't know. Like, people just keep talking about it. Remember during that whole thing when Florida State was trying to get out of the ACC and people were like, dude, the teams that people want out of the ACC are North Carolina. Like, that's supposedly the one that the SEC and the Big Ten would both come clamoring for. And I don't exactly know why that is, but from a football standpoint, they've never really, you know, Mac Brown in either run there, he never won the ACC, not once.
Not once.
No.
In either run in North Carolina?
No. Never won the ACC.
Wow.
Here's a fun, I was looking through Mac Brown, because I always view Mac Brown as a good, not great coach. But he won a national title, and so you give the guy his flowers. And he had a great run there at Texas. They had like a 5-6 year run there where they were a monster. And that Vince Young team, I mean, God, they beat arguably the greatest team of all time in USC. So he won the one national title in 2005, never won the ACC. Do you want to guess how many times he won the Big 12? I was kind of shocked by this.
How many years was he at Texas?
He was at Texas. Let me pull it up. He was there like 10 years.
I mean, since you're saying it that way, probably twice.
Twice. Both times that they went to the national title game. He was at Texas from 98 till 2013. So he was there a long time. Yeah, he only won it twice. And both times they played, obviously the national title one, they beat USC. And then the other one was when they lost to Alabama. That was the Colt McCoy. Remember, he got the dead arm thing. But I mean,
so 15 years there.
Yeah, and he had a good run. I mean,
was he anywhere outside of North Carolina and Texas?
He was at Tulane and nothing. Oh. I mean, that was back well, in the 80s. And
you know, he is the active winningest coach in college football. Did you know that?
I can't say that I did.
Yeah,
I mean those run at Texas. So at Carolina, this is he started off a little rough, but at Carolina, 9-3, 10-3, 8-4, 7-5, 10-2, 10-1, that got him the Texas job. 9-3, 9-5, 9-3, and then here comes the run. 11-2, 11-2, 10-3, 11-1, 13-0, 10-3, 10-3, 12-1, 13-1, and then it went downhill for 4 years, and they fired him.
Do you know who's on his heels? The active coach that's on his heels?
Well, Saban retired. What about? I'm trying to think. Ference, maybe.
There's
Dabo.
One guy right. There's one guy that's won almost as many games as Mac Brown.
Okay,
active because so the top six are Paterno, Bowden, Pop Warner, Bear Bryant, Saban, and some guy named Amos Stagg.
And then
it's these two guys. Mac Brown and?
So there's got to be around. Who's been around a long time? Because Dabo wouldn't have been around long enough.
He's been around a while, obviously.
Is Dabo?
No.
No, you're saying, yeah, he hasn't been around long enough. Who's in the, I'm trying to think, SEC. Who's just an old bastard curmudgeon?
He is definitely a curmudgeon.
Again, Ference, but I don't think he's won enough.
Nope.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
The great Brian Kelly.
Oh, really?
Yep. Can you believe that?
Brian Kelly?
Yeah, that surprised me too. He's won a lot of games, man.
Huh. That,
So he and Mac Brown are kind of...
I guess I don't think necessarily of him as that old, but it's a valid point. He is an old bastard curmudgeon.
So some names popped up for North Carolina... Cignetti, Dan Mullen,
yeah,
Cliff Kingsbury.
See, and those all seem to make sense to me because they're all good names, but I just don't think that's an elite.
I don't think you're getting Cliff out of the NFL.
I wouldn't.
I think that guy's better suited to the NFL lifestyle than recruiting.
And I wouldn't think so. I know this is going to sound weird, but you know what that job kind of reminds me of? When Tony Bennett took over the Virginia job. You know, it's like that. Someone, you'll kind of be like, really, North Carolina? But you can win there. I mean, there's been some success, but they've never gotten someone over the hump. So if you're North Carolina, I never understood the Dan Mullen retread thing. Dan Mullen is not going to get you over the hump. Go hire the young guy. Like, that would be the job where I would try to go find a Dillingham, to try to find someone that could actually get me over the hump, as opposed to a guy that can go there. I'm sure Dan Mullen can go there and win 8 or 9 games, but that's all you've been for 30 years. Just aim higher.
Andy Kotelnicki is the offensive coordinator at Penn State. He was the guy at Kansas last year. His name has popped up. Bob Chesney, James Madison, and Barry Odom at UNLV as well.
Yeah. See,
I don't know. Is Will Stein experienced enough for a gig like that?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard Stein's name pop up, but Dillingham was a one and done, right? And then he was out of there. So, I mean, the Oregon offense has been rolling. I don't know why someone wouldn't take a look at Will Stein. And I don't know what, I mean, Dillingham certainly has the quality of that young, energetic guy, and he's got the tie to ASU. So maybe Dillingham doesn't get that job if he's not an ASU alum. But you know, look, if Oregon keeps doing this, someone's coming for Will Stein, 100%.
All right, well, I think we should put a pin in it and then stay on schedule. And then when we come back, we'll have all the rankings. But one early note, they haven't revealed them all yet.
I'll tell you what, 15, 14, 13, 12 is very interesting.
So 13, 14, 15, again, the top 12, you have to be in the top 12 to get in the tournament. They have put South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Alabama 15, 14, 13, sitting there waiting.
Someone screw it up.
And they all have 3 losses, by the way. Yeah. They're all waiting to jump in if somebody loses.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Just waiting to pounce.
So we'll get to the rankings coming up next. Here's Buck. All right, welcome back. Hi.
True story.
College football playoff rankings are out. Here's what they're telling you. If you're an Oregon fan, how do you feel about playing the winner? If you win the Big Ten and you're the number one seed, how do you feel about playing the winner of Tennessee, Georgia?
It's effing brutal, man.
Yeah, that's tough. Although, you know what? Tennessee doesn't scare me.
And then, by the way, you'd probably have to play Ohio State in the round after that.
Yep. That does.
That's right.
That would be your path to the championship. And then on the bottom half.
Probably Texas?
Yeah, Texas, Notre Dame, someone like that.
Maybe I'm telling you, the number 5 seed has the most appealing path to me.
So right now, here's what let me just lay out what they have, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So, again, the rankings are different than the seedings in the bracket.
Yes.
Because of conference championships. Yeah. So, Arizona State, they've got as the 12 playing Ohio State. That means that they believe Arizona State is going to win the Big 12 and be the 12 seed. Mm-hmm. That is not a ringing endorsement for Big 12 football.
No, so Boise State, believe it or not, as the Mountain West Conference champ, still some work to be done there. They haven't won anything. But if they finish this thing off, that Boise State, according to this right now, Boise State would be the higher ranked champion, and Boise would indeed get the bye and would await the winner of the Arizona State, Ohio State game.
We'll play Ohio State.
Yeah.
The 5-12.
Yeah.
And then you have Georgia, Tennessee, the 8-9. Tennessee being the 8, Georgia being the 9. Winner would play Oregon if Oregon wins the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Now, if Oregon loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, they're now probably the 5.
And can I tell
where Ohio State is? Yeah. So it would be Oregon playing Arizona State.
Then Boise.
And then Boise.
So look, you
sign me up.
You obviously want to win the Big Ten championship. And yes, some things can fluctuate there. It's not a guarantee that this would be the matchup. But if there is a consolation prize to losing to Ohio State, let's say you lose a heartbreaker.
It's getting the 5 seed.
There's no better path than playing Arizona State and then Boise State.
It's it's the best soft landing for you if you lose in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, so as long as you take care of business against UW, I think the Big Ten title game, I think you're okay. I think regardless of what happens, I think you're sitting in a very advantageous
position. You win it, you're the one seed, you feel good, you've beaten Ohio State twice. You lose it, you fall into a better, you have to play an extra game.
Yeah. But that five spot is kind of the sweet spot.
Beat Ohio State, you don't have to play that weekend.
No.
And that is important.
Yes.
So then on the bottom half of the bracket, they've got Penn State playing Indiana with the winner meeting Miami.
How about SEC, suck it. The Big Ten has three of the top four teams in the country.
Well, and this also has two ACC teams in, including Notre Dame. That's not an ACC team, but they have Notre Dame and two ACC teams.
They're ACC light.
So Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina are all out. But again, a lot can change over the last weekend. But SMU would play Notre Dame, and the winner would get Texas.
This is where, but
so they've got SMU as an at-large.
Yeah, I find this very, very interesting, though, because as you mentioned, who's sitting there at 13, 14, 15?
All those SEC teams with three losses.
And Clemson is sitting there, too.
Well, they're 12th. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
so you got Clemson and then all those SEC teams. But
Clemson only has two losses.
Yes, Clemson has two. So I just think it's very interesting. Like, if I'm SMU, I think this is going to be a fascinating test. So if SMU wins, Miami wins, and they both go to the ACC title game as one-loss teams, does the committee have the balls to bump a two-loss Miami or a two-loss SMU, whoever loses that AC title game, out for a two-loss Clemson who didn't play in the damn title game, or a three-loss SEC team? If they do, they're absolute effing cowards.
Mm.
To me, if SMU and Miami win this week and they go to the ACC title game,
who's SMU playing? Well, SMU's already in the
SMU has Cal.
But I'm saying if they
play Cal.
But if they were to lose against Cal,
then they're out.
Yeah. I'm saying if Miami and SMU go to the ACC title game as a one-loss team, each one of them, they both should be in that tournament. I cannot speak it enough. There should not be punishment.
They're not going to be.
For losing that game. Because think about that. Clemson is sitting there at 12. And if you bump Miami or SMU out for losing the ACC title game, what you're saying is that you are punishing a one-loss team for making it to their conference title game, and you're rewarding Clemson for sitting on their ass and not having to play an extra game, or you're rewarding a three-loss SEC team.
See, I don't think they would put Clemson in, them being from the ACC. I think what they would do is cite the strength of the SEC and say three-loss Bama greater than two-loss SMU.
And
a lot of people would agree with that.
But I just don't see how. And I'm not going to lose it because they haven't done it yet. If you have any sort of brains in that committee, that making it to the title game should only be allowed to go up. You should not be punished going out by playing an extra game. I will never understand the logic of not making it to your conference title game is beneficial to you. I can't abide by it.
What if
the other one too is this does kind of basically guarantee that as long as Indiana doesn't do something stupid, Indiana's in. Same thing as Penn State.
Yeah. What somebody brings up on the Vancouver Ford text line, what if the ACC loser gets bumped when their quarterback gets hurt in the ACC title game? Like Jordan Travis.
Gosh.
Oh, my God. 2 years in a row?
Miami loses.
Like Cam Ward gets hurt?
Cam Ward breaks his leg.
You couldn't put him in, right?
No, like, they're out.
They're out.
The
You're
same
out.
Thing.
Out. Same thing.
It would be.
As Florida State last year.
Yeah. And Notre Dame, you think Notre Dame's sitting there at seven? Do you think there's any sweating that if they were to lose to USC?
Yes.
Because they'd be two losses, and the worst loss would be Northern Illinois, and now you're sitting there and debating two-loss Notre Dame, two-loss Clemson, and three-loss all those SEC teams.
Yeah, they should win.
Yeah.
They need to win.
Yeah. I think Notre Dame's sweating bullets a little bit.
Okay, there's one other factor here where everyone's arguing. Well, not everyone, but there are two sides yelling at each other about something, and we'll get to that, and it pertains to the playoff. We'll get to that factor next. What else were you going to say?
I just think it's weird that Indiana is... It's so odd that
they played a weak schedule, got blown out by the one good team they played,
and they're safe,
but only lost one.
Yeah.
Looked good enough, running up some scores to be. Yeah, they're just kind of sitting pretty right
there.
They're
just safe.
If they win their first round game, they play like Miami or SMU. What is going on? Who is winning? What is occurring?
Who is winning is Indiana. Go Hoosiers! Just sitting there, we're doing great. Doing great over here. Google me, bitch.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap up the college football playoff talk next on The Fan. All right. Well, the college football playoff rankings are coming into focus here because we're down to not too many games.
No, I mean, basically two left.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just the teams, it's narrowing because a lot of the teams that are in the picture have pretty easy games this week. Like Indiana plays Purdue. They're like a 30-point favorite.
Yeah.
So as long as they win, as long as SMU wins, like you said, they're already in the ACC title game, but they'll need to win to avoid having two losses going into that game.
Miami, I think, has Syracuse.
Yeah, Miami, that's a sneaky game. Yeah. They got to win.
Yeah, Syracuse isn't bad. Syracuse is 8-3.
Yeah, if Miami does not win at Syracuse, Clemson jumps in and plays SMU in the ACC title game. Tennessee's sitting, well, they have to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So that's not an easy game, rivalry game, but if they win that game and they're favored to do so by double digits,
then they're cake.
They're fine, and they don't even play in the SEC title game. No, Georgia is in the SEC title game against the winner of Texas and Texas A&M. Other than that, Ohio State has to just beat Michigan to get in the Big Ten title game. And the Big 12 is the mess. Okay, so this is the one thing I wanted to bring up that is already being hotly debated. And it is that Boise State right now, the committee is saying that Boise State will get the bye ahead of the Big 12 champion.
Yeah.
And you know that is making Brett Yormark so livid. Because what they're saying, the Big 12, and Brett Yormark's the head of the Big 12, what they're saying is, hey, you guys all say depth in the SEC and parity in the SEC, why don't you say that about the Big 12, where we have 8 or 9 teams that could still that are still available alive to play in the Big 12 title game?
Yeah,
and he cited another stat today that I was like, man, you can't really argue against that.
No,
and it's this: it's that the group of five this season collectively against the Power Five, there have been 95 matchups. Do you care to guess what the Group of Five's record is against the Power Five?
Guessing they've won maybe 10, 12 games.
8-87.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that includes Oregon State, Washington State, UMass, and UConn, who are technically independents.
Yeah.
So this was the big sticking point in the original college football playoff negotiations when they expanded. And this past spring, the head of the Mountain West said that Pac-5 leaders, or Power 4 leaders, threatened to remove access for the Group of Five team in the top four of the tournament.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Oh. So now Boise State is ranked ahead of all the Big 12 teams. So that means that if Boise State beats Oregon State and wins the Mountain West Championship, they'll likely play UNLV most likely, then they will be the four seed no matter who wins the Big 12. And the Big 12 is livid.
Well, I mean, but you can jump. So, you know, if Arizona State...
It's not looking likely.
What's Arizona State ranked?
Well, I don't even have... The top 15, they're not even in the top 15.
I think Arizona State is 16th.
Boise's 11th.
So, Arizona State would be the one, if you're the Big 12, that you're probably... I guess you would want to see. So, if Arizona State beats Arizona and then beats, I don't know, Iowa State. I'm trying to think of I'm looking at the rankings here. Where's the next big BYU's 19th? Would that be enough? Because Boise State wouldn't have a ranked win on their schedule.
Not if Boise State beats Oregon State and then wins the Mountain West. I don't think it's enough.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. If you looked at Arizona State or BYU or whoever ends up winning the Big 12, Iowa State, would a two-loss team there be enough to jump a one-loss Boise State team? And I really like Boise. Boise is a solid team. But you can say that the best thing that Boise has done is lose to Oregon.
Well, listen, the Boise State, one, they have a Heisman finalist. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Two, they win by double digits against pretty much everyone they play, not named Oregon. And they scared the number one team in the country, who has been really strong all year, at their place.
Yeah, but they are coming off their worst win. They eked by Wyoming by 4. They eked out a win over UNLV. I don't know. They seven-point game at Nevada. I'll be interested to see that. That will be if Arizona State wins and Boise State wins and finishes this things off. That will be one of the more interesting things. Does the committee again have the balls to say that a Mountain West team is better than the Big 12?
So the Group of Five this season collectively against the Power Four, 8-87.
Yeah.
The Big 12 has 42 wins over teams with winning records.
Yeah.
The Mountain West has 11.
Yeah.
And they have gone head-to-head, Big 12 versus Mountain West, 8 times this year. Mm-hmm. The Big 12 is 6-2 in those games with an average margin of victory of 21 points. So your mark has some numbers.
He's got some numbers. So whether it's BYU, whether it's Iowa State, whether it's Arizona State, again, I think you're the Big 12. You're hoping for Arizona State. That's your best representative. You would have a very, very, very strong case. In fact, I saw someone, and this is, you know, this is ludicrous, but someone floated the idea that if Arizona State loses to Arizona and they don't even make the Big 12 title game, let's say it's BYU and Iowa State. Tulane technically is ahead of them. Like Tulane
ahead of who
would be ahead of the Big 12 champion.
So Tulane would be the 4 seed.
Tulane would be the 5 seed. Like there is a scenario. It's absolutely ridiculous. But remember, it's the 5 highest ranked conference champions.
Right.
And the way Tulane is sitting right now, the only Big 12 team that is ahead of Tulane is Arizona State. So if Tulane finishes their schedule off and wins the American Conference, and Arizona State were to somehow lose, and one of those other Big 12 teams were to win, there is a scenario where the Big 12 champion would not get to play in the college football playoff because they would not be one of the top 12 teams, and they would not be one of the 5 highest ranked conference champions.
Oh, wow.
That's insane, and it's absolutely possible.
It's not possible.
You just
laid it out.
Yes.
I mean, the path is there.
There's zero chance.
But that would happen, though?
Yes.
So
yes.
You could win the Big 12.
Yes.
Not be ranked.
Unless the voters all realized what was going to happen and did a big shuffle.
Think they would do.
Yes. Someone, whoever won the Big 12, whether it was Kansas State or Colorado or BYU, whatever, they would then jump Tulane. But as it stands, if you were to say right now, the only Big 12 team that is ranked above Tulane is Arizona State. So if you removed Arizona State from the equation, it's important to remember. It is not the 4 Power Four champions, and then the group of 5. It is the 5 highest ranked conference champs. And that technically right now would be Tulane. And the Big 12 would be left out because they would not be a top 12 team and they would not be one of the 5 highest conference champs.
Who's the 5th then?
That would be Tulane. Boise State. So you'd have
You're including the Big 12.
No. So
because
follow this scenario.
If you're saying
the Big 10 goes, the SEC goes,
correct.
The ACC goes,
yeah.
Boise State goes,
Tulane
would actually be the 5th highest ranked champion.
I forgot about the Mountain West. Okay.
So,
oh my God. So
basically, your Mountain West winner and Tulane being ranked higher than your Big 12 winner would leave them out completely.
Conference champion. That's fantastic, and I hope it happens.
If you wanted a real kind of F you to the whole thing, that would be the one.
There's the fly in the ointment.
There's zero chance.
What a mess.
They would leapfrog, but
sweet new system you have here, guys.
Yeah, they made it way better, but it's still like who is even running this?
Again, because the biggest problem we have is just simply that there's no other sport where schedules are just so damn imbalanced. Because for everyone that yells at someone else and says you didn't play anyone, you get everyone else pointing at them saying,
yeah,
you
but
didn't
we're
play
good.
Either.
Yeah, well, we're good though.
That's
no,
it.
But we're better.
We're better.
But if we played you, we'd be good.
Yeah, we'd kick your ass. We beat a team that beat you.
Don't worry about who I played. We beat you.
This is why, as crappy as some people think that the two big AFC, NFC type of super conferences, as crappy as that would be for a lot of the ancillary schools, it really would make the sport way better because we'd get rid of this argument where
but listen,
they would be forced to actually play a way more balanced schedule. But
there's going to be a lot of debate about who gets in the tournament, and that will last, you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
And after that, this tournament's going to be great.
Yes.
We're going to forget about who should be in there, and the teams that are in there are going to play it out, and it's way better.
Yeah, well, the scenarios, like when you look at the potential games, it's just awesome. Like when you
look at interesting matchups.
Yes, it's very, very interesting matchups when you sit down and you look at it, you can start penciling in you know, like where all this goes and you know, what happens in the opening round, and you know, here's your path to the championship.
Well, and the 4 schools that get to host a playoff game, that's going to be awesome on all those campuses.
Yeah, Boise wouldn't.
In that scenario. They
not in that scenario. But
so the 4 would be Ohio
State. But if Oregon loses the Big Ten championship game, they're hosting one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that 12 seed has to go play in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands now,
yeah.
If Oregon beats Ohio State in the Big Ten title game,
be freaking this whole thing is just going to be bananas. We're going to get like five straight weeks of just unbelievable football matchups. And I think back to when we were growing up, where we didn't get any championship game, and then the crappy BCS, and then the four, and finally this. I mean, and one day we'll get to 16. It's going to be even better. But the 12, I'm not going to complain. Regardless of what happens, even if the SMU Miami situation plays out and I'm going to be pissed, I will still hold my tongue and be like, this is still great. It's great for the sport, and I'm fired up about this.
All right.
And how about the fact that in the first one of these, Oregon is the only team that has an opportunity to be undefeated. You know, they're the only team left standing at this point undefeated, and that's pretty stinking cool. You got a chance to finish that off.
All right, we'll get to the club. When we return, could you run a marathon drunk? Next on The Fan.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Oh no, they were hurting you so bad! Oh no!
This is malicious fecal distribution.
I'm going to that lake.
Caitlin Clark is white!
Pussy.
I lost it there.
Football's football. The only way to get better at it is to play football.
Football's football. The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
I think it's a Himalayan snowcock.
I'm gay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. What's up?
We're done doing football.
Yeah, we are. But now we're on to basketball because Kansas and Duke is on. So
Kansas already up 7-3. Rock
Hell
job.
Yeah, bro.
And Buckley, with the astute observation,
mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg may be the best non-NBA player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He desperately needs a haircut.
Just a real haircut.
Yeah, a real haircut.
He doesn't have a hairstyle. It's just grown out like your toddler would.
He does. It looks like he looks like a weird farm kid.
May I defend him for a moment?
You're going to defend that haircut?
Well, I think, yes. I'm going to try.
All right, go for it, Kansas boy.
It was a little bit of a low blow, I think, from a man who has no hair.
I'm insulted
boom.
As 10-3, a man.
10-3, bitch.
I'm insulted as a man that has no hair that he's doing that with his hair.
Being a man of increase?
I think he's just in a between stage.
Yeah.
I think that's what
you think he's trying to grow it out?
Yes. I think eventually he'll grow that out, but it's just a tween. I think if you're asking him to style it better, that's a fair criticism. But right now, I feel like...
I mean, I know you're going to get sweaty in a second, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, he looks like a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Well, he's also like 12
I know
years
he's
old.
Young, but he doesn't have to look that young.
He's 12, right?
I think he's 17. 17, 18. Yeah, he reclassified. You know, Justin Herbert went through some awkward hair phases. For
sure.
And now he's come out on the other side with a great head of hair. The facial hair?
Nah. You could take a nice razor there. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's a young man who needs to just stay clean shaven.
It's not. Well, you know, every young guy wants to have the facial hair, but...
Yeah. Facial hair is not for everyone. The long flowing locks is not for everybody. It's just
his
works
hair
for some,
game,
not for others. His hair game is great.
His hair game is mean, though.
It's
but
point.
The facial hair just... Cut it off, makes your hair look that much better.
He's it's like he's watching too many NBA games because I'll tell you what, no one leads sports in bad facial hair quite like the NBA.
Yep.
I mean, it's there's James Harden and then that's about it. Like Damian Lillard, I love him, but I'm looking right at you, buddy. That
Steph
thing,
Curry too, no.
Yeah, it's just brutal. But yeah, Cooper Flagg does need a big boy haircut. It's rough. And speaking of athlete hair, I saw this because I was watching the Raiders for some unknown reason.
Why on earth would you do that?
Well, I was interested
because
in what
Bo Nix is God.
I was interested in what Bo Nix is doing. I tune in. I want to see his kind of growth and development. And the Raiders have a great rookie that no one's talking about because it's the Raiders.
Oh,
dude, Brock Bowers is the truth.
He's awesome and he needs hair help.
Oh my God. Like he's got the Jordan Spieth thing going on.
Yes.
It is rough.
It's really thin and he hasn't kept it tight enough, so it's like wispy and thin over the front of his forehead.
He took off his helmet on the sideline, and they showed a close-up of it, and like it was...
He should just go the way of Sook. Pick that thing.
It's bad. Somebody needs to sit down with him and just be like, hey, man, it's over. God. It's over, dude. It's like, get with the hair restoration, people. Get with Brady, or just call it good at this point. Just shave it.
Isaac, do you think Duke will score more than 3 points tonight, or no?
I don't think so. I feel like Kansas is on pace to win this 97-3.
Yeah. I like that for you.
Hey,
I got my money on Jayhawk.
And Kansas getting 4.5, so,
yeah,
you know.
Catching points. Come on. I got to tell you guys, I, as a Kansas fan, and you know, I am a Bill Self homer, so I am very biased here.
Yeah.
Anytime that dude's catching points, I'm taking him.
Take it.
I don't care what his team is. I don't even care who he has on his team. He's really good.
That's how you do it?
He's really good.
Just grab him.
Well, right now, they're up 10 on the stupid Dukies.
Actually at 14.5 if you're gambling on it. Brock Chuck.
That's right.
The question is, do we go for the middle?
I was just going to ask you in the break, when do we play the middle?
Yeah, I got to check the line. What's the line? You got a live?
I haven't looked at it. I'm trying to do my job.
Yeah, I know. Can we go to break or something? I don't want
to. We can. Time to do that.
We have business to take care of here. We have money to win.
It is technically 6:12, so
yeah, let's go.
You'd be right on the clock.
While we look up live lines and try to hedge back.
Let's see if I can. It's not a hedge. It's a middle. There's a difference. A
chance to double up for
That's
free.
Right. Double for nothing.
I love it.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll take a break.
Gambling is fantastic.
Could you run a marathon drunk? Next on The Fan. All right. Well, Buck and I, we decided not to middle. Still early. Kansas up 10 on Duke.
Rock Chuck.
But Duke hanging in there on the money line and the points. They're still only... It's like +1.
Okay.
So.
It started at, 4.5 when you got it?
Yeah. The middle's too small. Yeah. But I also think it just looks like Kansas is going to win.
18-6 right now.
So we're looking for more on the live bet.
Understand.
All right. So her name is Justine Hung? Hung? She's Hung. Hung. H-U-A-N-G. Hang? Yeah.
H-U-N-G,
Hung. Huang.
Huang?
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 Because isn't that like is that the same spelling as the Oregon State guy, the NVIDIA guy?
Huang? Yeah, maybe.
I think it's Huang.
It's what?
Huang.
Okay.
This is the whitest conversation we've ever had.
Well, we're kind of looking to you for help. Aren't you married to an Asian?
So now you're saying all Asians are the same? I'm not married to a Huang.
You're not running for president of Asia.
Yeah. Yes.
No, but isn't there a proper pronunciation of that?
Well, there is a difference between Japanese,
you
Korean,
don't know either.
Which I'm
this
familiar
is the problem.
With.
You don't know either. So we're all idiots.
Yeah.
And very white.
The bonus rewards program kicks in.
Her name is Justin Huang, according
it's not
to
Justin
or Justine. Sorry. according to
now, you're committing hate
Buckley.
Crimes over here.
She's 26, and she just ran the New York City Marathon drunk.
Gloria! Gloria!
Well, she says she likes to push herself, but drinking to the point of being unable to break any records reminded her that running is actually fun. Mm.
Especially
when roughly 7 alcoholic drinks are involved.
I would say 7 for most people would probably...
So she had 7 cocktails.
I would probably consider that drunk.
She says, as a competitive person, I have the mindset that I want to run as fast as I can, but forcing myself to slow down this time, spending time with spectators and friends who came out to support me, made this experience so much better than I thought. Well, she didn't get the opportunity to run the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Hmm. And the New York City Marathon 3 weeks apart, since both are hard to get into. So the lottery for the New York City Marathon has an acceptance rate of 4%.
Yeah, because like those big ones, you don't just get to show up. You have to qualify for those and put in your time. And yeah.
So she did not have to go through the lottery. She bypassed that. She snagged one of the 14,000 slots allocated to charities who give bibs to runners who fundraise for them.
Okay.
So she relied on the lottery for the Chicago Marathon, where there's like 120,000 runners applying for 50,000 spots. Once she learned she had received a slot, she decided to run for speed at Chicago and run for vibes in New York City.
I like that we're doing vibes.
That is such a millennial statement.
That is.
I'm doing this one for speed, but I'm doing this one for vibes.
This one's for vibes.
So
If you do it for vibes, shouldn't you take like an acid tablet or some mushrooms?
Hey, whatever vibe you want, man.
I feel like that would be, like, that's a more enjoyable marathon.
Your vibes might be different than her vibes.
That's your true. Race, your vibe, bro. So, both marathons draw huge crowds, right?
Yeah.
So Chicago has like 1.7 million spectators on the course. Mm-hmm. New York has over a million. So when she raced to meet her goal time in the Chicago Marathon, she was not able to interact with the crowd and her friends who came to support her. So her goal in the New York City Marathon was to engage with the spectators that were cheering her on. Well, she said, I wanted to eat all the food I saw and then drink whatever the spectators were bringing. That was my plan going into the race, but I didn't expect how much food and drinks there would be. She started with candy. Then the first guy handed me, I think, a shot of Hennessy. After that, it got really, really lit.
Can I just say that this lady is now my hero? This is awesome.
She is great.
Yes.
And there's photos of her, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I see right here. Well, the BTJ does not run marathons, but she ran a half marathon last year in Arizona. And she's running one this year, like in somewhere in Northern California. And I feel like this needs to be part of their half marathon.
Yeah, you should do one in Napa. I guarantee there's booze out there.
Yes. The photos of her running this thing are freaking awesome.
Yeah, she's all house.
She looks happy smiley. As can be.
She is. Because she was drinking.
Yes.
Then she said three people handed her beers, and her friends who came to cheer her on brought her another shot of liquor. She detailed her full drunk running experience in a TikTok that has amassed almost 4 million views. Yeah. In all, she estimates she had 4 or 5 shots of liquor and then maybe 4 or 5 half cups of beer.
Of course, now we're getting the professionals that are saying that this is a terrible idea. You need to stay hydrated. And
well,
you're getting the fun police that are being real staboners in this whole thing.
Staboners.
Get out of here. Let the lady have some fun. No one's collapsing and dying at the Chicago Marathon. There's paramedics there.
She also was given a red solo cup of Prosecco. New York City running coach Elizabeth Corkum, known as Corky in running circles, said,
of course, Corky.
Dehydration is a big concern during a marathon, even without the alcohol. She loves her post-race beer, but said, alcohol and running do not mix.
I beg to differ.
Alcohol
Shut up, Corky.
Here's what Corky said. She said, alcohol is poison. It's a fun poison, but it's poison. And so for a runner, it's going to do a couple of things. First off, it's diuretic. So depending on how much it's consumed, it might actually impact that athlete's dehydration. Alcohol can also get in the way of our body's ability to really utilize carbohydrates efficiently. I just want you to know that.
Dude, am I the only one?
No.
When it comes to stuff like this, that it drives me crazy when people act like everyone that's competing in something like this is in it to run their best PR time or to break some sort of record. Doesn't anyone understand that sometimes people just do things to have fun and alcohol makes things more fun? Lighten up, Corky. God. This is so great. Yeah. I love this lady.
When we want Corky's input, we'll ask for it.
Exactly. She said her stomach was surprisingly fine with all the snacks and drinks.
She said she did fine. She made it.
Yeah, first time consuming anything other than gummies and water and electrolyte drinks for a long run.
So you're wondering how fast she did the Chicago Marathon. That was the one that she was trying hard.
Speed versus vibes.
4 hours and 14 minutes.
Which I have no idea if that's a good time, but...
In Chicago. And the one where she was drunk... 5 hours and 36 minutes.
But I bet you that one was 1,000 times funner and more memorable than the one that she ran 14-14. And here's the thing. You didn't win either one. You're not going to win either one. Lighten up. I love this lady. Put a little more whimsy in your life. Add some smoking and alcohol to whatever physical activity you're doing.
Smoking?
The greatest photo of all time is that, is it Len Dawson, the Chiefs quarterback, at the halftime of Super Bowl I? He's got a GD Fresca, and he's got a heater in his mouth.
I'd encourage you not to loop Corky in on this one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Len Dawson was in Flavor Country at halftime. That's amazing. It just is. You can't tell me anytime you see someone doing something active, but they've got a cigarette in their mouth. When I lived in La Center, the La Center All-Stars, there was a lady that would jog, and she was hot. She was an in-shape lady, and she would smoke, and I just loved
while jogging?
Yes. She was like, we called them the Center All-Stars. We had the Mexican Shuffler, we had the Sea Captain, and there was the Smoking Jogger who was legitimately hot. And she would... It was the weirdest thing.
Was she also on cocaine? How does that work?
I don't know, but she was in great shape. She always wore like a sports bra and little tiny shorts.
Where'd you carry your pack of heaters?
And about half the time while she was running, rolled she would have a sleeve, dart dangling from her lips. And I'm like,
it's incredible.
Yes.
It's like that hot golfer who smokes.
Yes. Well, what am I going to...
Charlie Hull.
Yeah.
What am I going to give her running tips?
Girl, hey, you
shouldn't
else.
Be doing that. She'd be like, yeah, keep up with me for 2 minutes. And I'm like, I can't. And then she'd blow some smoke in my face and run away. That lady was awesome. She was living her best life. I also like to think that she was doing some sort of like, well, maybe the jogging cancels out the smoking, right? It's like, yeah. I'm doing some harm, but hey, I'm working these lungs.
You still wouldn't think you'd do them simultaneously, but there you are.
Well...
Yeah, like someone said Corky is poisoning this vibe. Exactly.
She is. Much love to Justine Huang, 26-year-old. It didn't say where she was from, did it?
I'm looking here, and it doesn't say, at least in this article that I'm reading on KPBS. But she seems delightful.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in vibes.
Yes.
And she's got them.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think Coach K and Ken Jeong are talking about on the bench?
Oh, Ken Jeong.
He's a Duke guy.
Yeah, he's a Duke guy and a Dodgers guy. But wasn't he behind the home plate for the World Series?
He was behind the home plate. Well, he lives in L.A. now because he's an actor, but he actually went to Duke Medical School.
Yeah.
So that's probably legit, you know.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Plus, he's...
First cool thing about Duke in a long time. Ken Jeong, is that his
Jeong.
Name? Jeong. He seems like he'd be a fun hang.
He does seem like a fun guy. I'm trying to think if there's anything else about Duke that's cool, unless this lady went to Duke. I'm trying to find out more about her.
You think Corky went to the Duke?
No. Corky's probably some crunchy. She went to like Cal. That whiny bitch.
Crunchy. Well, are you calling her a crunchy granola lib?
I am. Like, is there anything worse than when someone's having fun and then someone has to immediately chime in with the, you know, what you're doing isn't very healthy for you, or that's really not a very safe thing to do.
Yeah, it's like why would you even care what somebody else does in a marathon? There, was it like 50,000 people in that marathon?
Yes.
Who cares, Corky? Who cares what they're doing?
It's like when you're out floating the river or whatever, and someone's like, oh, you shouldn't be consuming beverages. Well, and you're like, thanks, tips. That's great. I've got a life vest upside down and like diapered. And I got a 12-pack. You really think I'm concerned right now about your safety warnings? You don't think I'm aware of what I'm doing here? Just get out of here.
You get.
Well, it's like the lifeguards.
Dude, he's such an effing loser.
A wiser man than me once said, we're not here to be goalies. You're here to assist or get out of the way. Quit trying to put the kibosh on people's fun. You're that's the Karen of the world. That's like, hey,
couldn't agree more.
You can't have a lemonade stand here, or we need speed cushions on our streets. These are the sorts of people that are looking to kill fun for everybody.
One of humans' worst traits is poking their stupid noses into other people's business. Mind your own.
Especially when it doesn't apply to you.
Exactly. Mind your own.
Yeah, someone's saying, yeah, and this is true. I've seen it. Vlade Divac would smoke at halftime of NBA games.
Yeah. That was famous.
Yeah, Mario Lemieux would do that, too, for the Pittsburgh Penguins until he got cancer. And I was like, eh, got to stop that. But just the idea of like, world-class condition athletes, like, just in, like right underneath the Blazer Tunnel. It's like, hold on, I got to get a couple more puffs on this one before I got to go out. And how much better was golfing back in the olden days when you could smoke on tour and they would show it?
When I was working in the Bay Area, Yoenis Cespedes and Josh Reddick were both playing for the A's, and they would sneak into the clubhouse in the fourth, fifth inning between the bats and rip heaters together.
That's right.
Yeah, the first time I went to the PGA Championship in Tulsa in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And that was my first ever pro golf tournament. Mm-hmm. Stunned at how many of those guys were out there smoking.
All those old dogs did,
the
right?
The players, they all did. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh my God, this is stuff they don't show on TV.
Yeah.
So there was this guy by the name of Neil Lancaster. He was a pro, and he was out there, and nobody was following him. So we just latched onto him. He was just smoking darts, talking to us with his old Southern drawl. God, he was great. Missed the cut, but
yeah, you know. You know what? His vibes though were excellent.
There was no Corky there to keep him in check.
No,
we certainly weren't keeping him in check.
And it's great that her name is Corky. If you're gonna have someone that's gonna rain on your parade, wouldn't it be someone named Corky? No, I'm not gonna give you no cookie.
No.
No, we're not, Cork.
All right, up next, I only date women in poverty.
I did see that.
Did you see that?
That's a bold statement, but look, the guy's got a point.
I think he does too.
It's not necessarily like the most politically correct point, but I see where he's coming from.
Being a man of increase.
He is.
We'll get to that next. Here's Buck. Yeah, somebody on the YouTube chat alerted us to Uncle Chen, the smoking marathoner.
Yeah, he got kicked out of one of the major marathons. He got disqualified. And he ran one in outside of Beijing, and he got disqualified for chain smoking.
Yeah, but he ran. It says he runs a sub 330 marathon.
Yeah,
while chain smoking.
Yes, but it violates the rules. I guess you're not allowed to smoke on the course. And he doesn't just smoke; he chain smokes. He looks fantastic. See, he just makes me laugh. He's 52.
He's a Chinese runner.
Yeah,
Uncle Chen.
There's something too. I don't know why, but I always enjoy like. You ever pull up to like a Chinese restaurant and like all the Asian cooks are just like out in the alley just smoking away? It just there's something about it that just makes me smile. It just feels right with the world. The BTJ, like they have this. My gal has like she calls it her family group, and I think we've talked about this, but it's a gathering, and it's like every kind of Asian you can imagine. It's just the community. They all get together like once a month, and they do big family like kind of potlucks. And there's a group of uncles, and I'm not really sure who they're related to or how they're related to, but they're all like in their like 50s and 60s, and none of them really speak English, and they always have large amounts of cash. They'll gamble on anything, and they just sit in the corner off on their own, and they just drink hard liquor and chain smoke the entire time.
Nice.
And you don't know who they're related to?
No, I always ask, and it's always like, well, that's Uncle so-and-so, and I'm just like, no one really can give me a definitive answer on where they belong to, but like they're all, like a lot of them are like Laotian, and I always ask like what they do, and no one really can tell me what they do, but it's just, they're awesome, and they'll gamble on anything, and large amounts of money, and I'm desperate to try to get in with them. I gotta find it in, but it's very intimidating. Because I don't smoke. I'm not Asian.
Start bringing your own heaters, man.
I need to just have the guts to go over there one day with like a bottle of like Remy Martin or something, and then just and they love Heineken too, hard liquor and Heineken. That's
why
all,
Heineken.
I don't know, but they all that's all the beer they drink. They drink hard liquor or Heineken.
And what's and the hard liquor of choice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it clear brown?
No, they're drinking clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Drinking clear liquor and Heinekens. And like the one guy that was 60, he showed up the last time and he got a new head tattoo. He's just got a big giant tattoo on his head. And I'm like, who gets it? Like 65, who gets a head tattoo? They're like, oh, that's Uncle So-and-so. I got to get in with those guys. I need to, the Asians. I need to be bolder about what's happening there because I think when you enter that world, I think cool and also probably highly illegal stuff is going on, and I want in.
Listen, they're smart. They love to party.
Yes.
They love to gamble.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, they live longer than anybody.
I know. Like, again, what
Why do we not take our cues from the Asians?
we were there and someone announced a pregnancy, and it was like, you know, they was like, hey, we're having a baby. Dude, they started betting thousands of dollars on the sex of the baby. And I'm like, this is the sort of degenerates.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, hey, we got something to gamble on. Let's go.
I've certainly had some very serious gambling days. And I remember one time at a friend's wedding, we were all housed. And we started betting, not thousands, but hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Back when we didn't have hundreds of dollars. Yeah. We started betting on who could throw. We were outside because we were smoking. And it was who could throw their credit card closest to the wall.
It's the Michael Jordan penny game, basically.
Yeah, and you would get double if you were able to
lean it up
against the wall.
And you were gambling for no reason other than it was just awesome.
Hundreds of dollars, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, we needed some action. Let's go. We're at a wedding. Boring. Let's go.
It's just the best. Oh, good times.
It's good times. Well.
What were we?
Well, I was going to tell you about Corey Holcomb.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Corey.
Now, he is a comedian, American comedian from Chicago.
I had not really heard of him before I saw this story.
I haven't either, so I had to read about him. He bills himself as the ghetto Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with his works. But he has gone viral because he is stating that he only dates women in poverty. Because they're more practical.
Yes. And he says, quote, I believe the quote that I saw was, I can control them. It's somewhat problematic,
I don't like that part of it. No. But what he's saying is, look, he says, you know, a lot of these women come from money.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's all they think about. It's all they care about. He said the women in poverty are more down to earth. They're more fun.
He did say it's a humanitarian thing, too. He's lifting people up. I think it's an interesting strategy.
He says that it's the same thing as women who only date rich men.
Rich men, yes. Which, by the way, that to me is
that's
best
fair.
Point. Because there are a ton of women out there that are now saying that if you, and some of the demands, like, it's ridiculous. Like, there's women that are like, if you don't make $1 million, like, I want nothing to do with you. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
And so why is it okay for that, but not okay for a guy to do the, well, I'm only dating poor.
Being a man of increase.
But to be honest with you, isn't that the whole notion of rich old guys anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just being a little more outwardly about it. He's not necessarily a rich old man.
Yeah. I don't know. Why would you be outraged by this?
Well, because, you know,
women, he can date whoever he wants.
Yeah. But,
and by the way, I mean, it's not a bad way to go if you want to cut out the superficial crap from your life.
I think it probably stems from the part that he's targeting a certain demographic because he can control them.
Yeah,
better.
I didn't like that part. I did not read
that's
that he said
that. That's probably what
people
don't like.
Yeah. That's not my favorite.
But at the same time, couldn't you say that women that date rich guys, I mean, there's like entire websites that are dedicated to, are you young and hot and do you want a rich guy? I mean, they made a show called Who Wants to Date a Millionaire? You're targeting a specific person.
What was that show?
Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No. Yeah. Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
And then, of course, the guy who was the millionaire ended up not being a millionaire. It was this dumb reality scam.
Yeah.
But it was basically a bunch of women that were, well, kind of like that HBO show where you're only looking at people's parts and deciding who you want to go on a date with.
Well,
all these women were not allowed to see the man. They're just like, I don't care what he looks like. I'll marry him because he's a millionaire.
Well, can we be honest? Like,
please
dating,
do.
Dating and marriage and everything else, it's all transactional. It's just a matter of what you're paying with. Some people pay with genuine love and affection and care.
What is that? does that?
Other people pay with goods, services, money, houses, security. Other people pay with great uptops. Other dudes pay with great hair and hot abs.
Mm.
You know, other people pay with like trips and planes and like we all are playing a game of poker, and you can only play the cards that you've been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you make the argument that if you're a guy and you have a bunch of money, look, that's an ace. In fact, that may be a pair of aces. But if you're 25 and you're a ridiculously good-looking guy, that's probably a pair of kings. Now, the ultimate flush is when you're young and hot and you're female. I mean, that's like the royal flush. You're out there like you're Godzilla and the rest of us are millions of fleeing Japanese. But there's some cards that we respect and others that we feel like is cheating, and it's not. We're just all playing the hand that we have, and you're playing your best hand. And this guy, you know, he's
well,
playing.
You try to play your best hand.
You try.
Sometimes, you know, the youngs, they don't, I mean, now, sometimes you don't understand what your best hand is.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. But, I mean, it's just like every relationship is somewhat transactional. It's just that some transactions, again, we frown upon, and others we do not. But think about, like, whenever you wooed your girl or she wooed you, you tried to win her over and you tried to impress her. Like, you probably at some point took your wife on a nice date, right? When you were first dating, like when you were like, hey, I want to see if like this is solid. Whether you take her to.
Well, not if you're ghetto Dr. Phil. She's not expecting much.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole thing. Like, if you're ghetto Dr. Phil and you're thinking to yourself, like, for me, maybe it's Ring House, or for someone else, it'd be Ox.
I'm going to take this girl to Cheesecake Factory, and it's going to be Michelin star.
Yeah, and for Dr. Phil, he can probably aim for Applebee's, and his gal's like, hey, this is awesome. I can see the allure of that, but you're putting that forward, and then you're like you're taking her to dinner, and you're buying her your drinks, and there's wine, and we're going to a Broadway show and all that. And the other guy's just like, hey, man, what if I just spent a lot less, or what if I just paid directly for the access? So again, we're just playing hands. But we like to make ourselves feel better and believe that we're above it all, when in reality we're not. We're all feeding at the same trough. It's just how we get there.
All right, Better Hang wraps it up next on The Fan. And last but not least tonight, something we were discussing over drinks a couple weeks ago.
Some drinky poos.
Yeah. The topic came up, and I don't know how. You know how that goes.
That's usually what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were discussing who is a better hang. Who would be a better hang? Who would you rather hang with? Mm-hmm. Okay. Would it be the Rube who is fully sober, or the brilliant, educated professional on meth?
Ooh. Yikes. You went full meth, huh?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to say the sober Rube. I don't.
You think so?
Boy, man. I don't have a lot of experience with people on meth, but I don't think meth is a good hang.
I feel similarly that. Yeah.
I feel that's a lot of, like,
I don't need to.
That's itchy.
Fraternize
face
with the people.
No. Now, I get it. Like, the meth head, like the people that, like, I see on the street, like that I ride the bike by, like, that's all meth, but. Is there such a thing as just like casual meth? Like,
well,
just a baby hit?
Well, I'm saying, like, those people obviously are in the throes of meth addiction.
What if they're early on?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, if we just found a dude and he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to smoke a little meth tonight, does that person still keep it all together? Is the difference between doing a little coke and someone that has, like, a raging coke problem? Is there such thing as mild meth? Like, meth light?
Well, they say once you do it once, you're hooked already, right?
If that's like the case, then hooked. I think I'm taking the sober Rube. At least that you could find something to talk to him about, right? Like, maybe he's into maybe he's into, like, helicopters or something, or like something like World War. He's probably into World War II. Mm-hmm. Every nerd's into World War II. Go with that.
Yeah, could be super cool.
Or the meth. I mean,
the meth guy could be wild, though.
The meth could be wild. We golfed with a guy down in Tahoe who was ripping lines the entire time. Dude was, like, one of the most interesting people I've ever met. He was an old guy. And, like, he was in the, he worked for, like, John Paul Mitchell.
Paul Mitchell.
Paul Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the salon.
Yeah, the salon guy. He was in the salon business. Oh, my goodness. He was telling me about, like, what it was like in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. It was like radio back in the day.
Oh, God.
And he's still hanging on for dear life?
Oh, yeah, dude. He was.
Not letting those days go?
Yeah, dude. He was just. And he was probably 70 and just ripping lines. Yeah, just like we're in the golf cart together. He's like, hey, you mind real quick? I'm like, dude, have at it. He's telling all these stories about, like, the Playboy Mansion and this and that. And some of the stories were uncomfortable. But, I mean, it was a hell of a round. So, I mean, like that, like, between that and some sober Rube, I'll take the dude who's coked out of his mind. Meth, though.
We're going meth.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued now.
Could be interesting.
It could be interesting. I don't know if I've ever hung out with someone while they're smoking meth.
You probably have. You just don't know it.
I think you would know it, right? Can you?
It's possible. You've done a show with one every day for 20 years.
I don't think you can casually do meth. Like, I don't think you can casually do heroin. I don't think that works. I'm guessing coke is probably the hardest drug that you can casually do.
All right, well, unanswerable question.
No.
I guess personal preference.
I think Rob wants to dabble with the meth guy.
I think I would, yeah.
I think, yeah, you were going meth.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
That's
if no other...
Just to see.
Just to see what that's like.
I'm guessing we have a listener that could probably make that happen.
Well, let's not go that.
Someone's out there right now like, hey, you want to smoke some meth? Let's go.
All right. Everybody have a great night. We are back tomorrow. Not 3 to 7. Probably around 4. But we'll be on after the Oregon game. So see you tomorrow on The Fan. Good night.